But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah! I got a sting in the car right in here. That's what gets my voice all good. That's a good one. Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 12:02 on the fan. We made it. Friday morning. Let's go. 888-808-1019. We got Rami still hanging out on the other side. Fleegs is with us as well. And we got you for five straight hours on our five-hour midnight ride all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019 right here on the fan. And Met fans, that is one of those games. This is one of those wins that you take with you, that you put on, as Rami said as I walked in, you put on the championship DVD if there is one. We're going to find out about this team because last night, that's one of those wins in a situation where they respond off of that injury. Watching Griffin Cannon go down to that very unfortunately familiar sight of the extended leg, the vibration in the calf muscle, that slight little pop that we all have seen far too often in our sports visuals here over the last couple of years, mainly in basketball. We'll get in. Fleek just gave me a good tidbit about when it's happened in baseball. Think about it. It's been pitchers in these Brave Mets series to see them go down. But this game last night, coming off of the win the other day, to channel this win, to come out there, Griffin Canning on the mound, 0-0. You got a rookie going against you. And Griffin Cannon goes down, he lays on the floor, and we all know after watching the replay that he is done, not only for this game, but unfortunately for the rest of this season. And I feel terrible for him, and they were talking about it on the broadcast, you can sense the feeling around the team. When that happens, it is a very difficult thing to overcome because you're thinking of your teammate, your friend, the guy you've been going to battle with for now 80-plus games, is laying there on the floor, and he knows it. Whether or not it's been reported or we know exactly the extent, but everybody knows that is a significant injury. And this guy who's resurrected his career here with the Mets, who's turned himself into something, who I've been calling Exhibit A of the pitching lab as one of the premier, like, turnarounds. Like, we've seen other pitchers obviously come through here with the Mets over the last couple of years and either resurrect a career or change who they are or whatever the case. None more than Griffin Canning, who is a guy out in Anaheim who couldn't get it done for the Angels. Was this close to hanging on to a rotation spot with a franchise that's been as bad at developing starting pitching as any in baseball, and he's been great for the Mets this year. And you're looking to salvage a series against the Braves. You're looking to win a big game heading into Pittsburgh this weekend. You're looking to solidify that it's the end of this drought. You got Philadelphia getting swept out in Houston, and this is a huge game. And as the manager said in the postgame, when Griffin Cannon goes down, not only does it affect the entire team, but how the hell are you getting through nine innings? This is a team that we've talked about, this pitching staff, that I've been more inclined to blame the offense, but there's no doubt that this pitching staff has not been as good lately, and it's not getting deep into games. And you have a constantly calling up different guys, including Austin Warren, who gets called up today and thrusted right into it with two outs in the third inning, and Austin Warren is really good in there. You got his family. I'm assuming that's his family. I was watching the game. My kids are yelling, and they're showing, you know, him, his wife and his mother or whoever, you know, praying that he gets through it. He comes in and does an incredible job. Daniel Nunez comes in and looks like the guy who was last year. We haven't seen him in a long time, but he comes in and has his best outing in forever. Shut down the Braves, and the Mets come through, Pete Alonso with three hits, to rally in that manner, to win the game as crisp and as clean. I know there's a little issue with some base running and whether or not you could have scored on a tag up. Ultimately, a clean, crisp game. They come through with the big hits. Pete Alonso gets hot again, three hits. Jeff McNeil kind of bookends these two games. These two games that have now hopefully turned around their season. It started with McNeil making an incredible catch in center field. robbing a home run, looking great doing it, and it's kind of capped off in the bottom of the seventh with a two-out, two-run base hit that gives the Mets a four-run lead that you know they're not going to relinquish, and they win these last two games against the Braves. They get themselves back into first place, and now, hopefully, this is a game, and these are two games against the Braves that have stabilized your season because you're about to go play the Pittsburgh Pirates, who we all know are terrible. And this is a time now where you hope, I mean, listen, if they stub their toe in Pittsburgh, we're going to feel different. But right now, you're trying to ride this momentum off of these two games, and you take it right into Pittsburgh, and you go and sweep the Pirates, or at least take two out of three, and you feel like you've stabilized yourself. As bad as this whole thing has been, as ugly of a stretch, losing 9 of 10 as it's been, they are now a half a game up in the division. They have at least won a couple of games and salvaged the split in a four-game set against the Atlanta Braves. And they did it last night responding in a way you want to see your team respond. They did it with a toughness. They did it overcoming an enormous obstacle of losing their starting pitcher in the third inning due to a devastating injury and watching him lay there and watching him being hobbled off the field. And that team had to respond. And Austin Warren comes in and pitches an incredible couple of innings. And then Daniel Nunez comes in and does an incredible job. And the two of them stabilize the game. The offense does just enough. Pete Alonso hot again. Still have issues with Lindor. But Alonso hot. Obviously, Soto continues his good month. You get the big hit from Jeff McNeil with two outs, which is a huge hit in this game. I know they're already winning 2-0, and they don't give up any runs, but that cushion of another two runs is a huge hit, and that stamped the game as a win. That is the kind of win that hopefully you can build on and turn your season around. That's what, and not that the season necessarily needed turning around. They just needed to stabilize what was going on with this team. And now, obviously, moving forward, the rotation is in flux, right? You needed this win because right now you don't know. Obviously, Canning is gone. They're assuming it's a torn Achilles. It is. Let's be honest. We all know it. And that's another conversation here. It hasn't been a major issue in baseball yet, but we are seeing these Achilles injuries at an alarming rate. It is crazy what's going on, and we know it. Like, we know it the second we see it. It's no longer any sort of, like, oh, there's a telltale sign because the way he hopped. No, we could watch the replay. You see the vibration in the calf muscle. We have been conditioned to know what that injury is. Then the Mets come out and it's an ankle injury. We know it's not an ankle injury. We know it. When the tweet goes out that, you know, Griffin Canning has left the game with an ankle injury, we all know that's not the case. That is a devastating injury, and everyone in the ballpark felt it. And the Mets get off the deck and go and win that game. And now, yeah, the rotation moving forward is in flux. You still got Senga, who you're hoping to get back maybe, you know, after the All-Star break, early August at the latest. Manaea, who knows, he's been reshut down because of the loose body in his elbow. They're hopeful it's just a very short-term shutdown and that he'll be back on the mound relatively soon and back into the rotation relatively soon. But you don't know. McGill is injured. Like, right now, the rotation kind of is just Clay Holmes, Peterson. Like, those are the guys you really count on right now. So, like, yeah, that is still an issue. This win does not solve all the ills of this team. There's still an issue with the back end of the lineup. There's still an issue now, clearly, with the rotation. We're going to see how much the bullpen can be pushed here. But this is a game against the Atlanta Braves that, let's be honest, over the last 20-plus years and through the first five games of this season, they lose this game. They lose this game. Your pitcher goes out in a devastating injury, lying on a heap in the floor against the Atlanta Braves in the third inning, and you have to spitball the rest of that game. You have to tape together the rest of that game with relievers you don't trust, kids just brought up from the minor leagues. Like, that's how they're going to get through this game. And not only do they get through it, they shut them out. You get home run from your guy, obviously, who's now, we talked about it yesterday, Juan Soto, who's obviously blossoming here in the month of June and becoming the star that we all know he is. Alonso comes through with three hits after slumping. McNeil with the big hit. You come back. You pitch incredibly well. You shut down the Braves, and you win a game that you haven't won for 20 years, that you haven't won for 2 weeks. A game that hopefully now leads to a good stretch against a bad Pittsburgh team, and maybe you could start to build some confidence. There are still issues. You have to worry about how this rotation is going to look. We're going to find out. Vientos is going to be activated today, and that's a decision right now. You know, Mauricio gets another hit in this game. There's really no point of having Young on this team. I'm interested to see what they want to do with this. This is going to be an interesting decision for the Mets, and it kind of felt like that they decided to give it one more day before they made the decision. They put, obviously, Mauricio in the lineup today, and it was kind of, it felt like, well, let's give it another day. We don't have to make the decision today. We weren't going to play Vientos anyway. Let's see if Mauricio comes through with another couple of good at-bats and he gets a broken bat single in this game. Like, if he comes through, we'll see. I think right now he deserves to be up here. And I think most Met fans would agree. You let me know at 888-808-1019. I'm assuming we would rather get rid of Young. I'm assuming we would rather keep Mauricio on this team. Now, there is the benefit of going down to the minor leagues and getting regular at-bats. I'm sure David Stearns, knowing the way he operates a little bit, would love to get some more seasoning for this guy. But right now, you don't have the option other than playing your best lineup, because the rotation that once was carrying this team, even with the win tonight, moving forward, you've got Montas off of one good start. You've got Clay Holmes, who's already pitched more innings than he's thrown his entire career, and the walk numbers and the home run numbers are up while still pitching well. And, of course, you've got Peterson right now, who's the ace of the staff, coming off of, you know, one bad start. But I'm willing, you know, I think it's more than fair to say Peterson is still pitching very, very well, and you expect him to continue to do so. So you're down to a pitcher who's had one start, a reliever turned starter who hasn't thrown this many innings all year or all career, and David Peterson. That's the rotation right now. And I don't know if you're going to see bullpen games. I don't know if you're going to start calling up some of these prospects from AAA. I don't know what you're going to do to get through this. But to me, I still think Mauricio brings more to the table than Young. And right now, it feels like you're going to need to score as many runs as you can. And this offense, and hopefully Pete and Soto can get hot at the same time, because we haven't seen that. We really haven't seen those two guys who have carried the team. And obviously, we're still in the midst of a Lindor slump. He's dealing with the broken pinky toe. It put him in a funk. I don't know if it's exclusively just because he's in pain or he got some bad habits while he was dealing with it. Whatever the case may be, he's clearly in a slump. And this offense is going to have to do what we've been talking about, what I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. They have to be the unit that's going to help this team through this time, because there's only so much the bullpen can do. There's only so much this limited rotation, especially now after last night, is going to be able to do. This offense has to step up. Juan Soto's been doing it. The rest of the team has to start doing it with him. And if now Pete Alonso can get hot, three hits in this game, that can go a long way. And this win last night, from the dejection that team must have felt, watching Griffin Canning, who, again, it's not even just that he's a teammate, and that's enough, but it's also this guy was making a name for himself. This guy was a relatively high draft pick with high expectations who's had a sputtering career, and he's come over to the Mets, and he's found himself, and he's pitching the best baseball of his career, and everybody knows that, and he's maybe on his way to making money. He's on his way to earning a contract. It's not just about, you know, the team, and that's the most important thing, obviously, but they all know this, man. They talk about this. They're, you know, they're businessmen. And Griffin Canning is on his way to signing a contract. Griffin Canning is on his way to, you know, maybe actually, you know, finding himself as a starting pitcher, getting a contract, making some money, having some security. To watch him go down in a heap and know the devastation of that injury, that is a tough, tough pill to swallow. You feel for that. You feel for the guy more than you even feel for the team in that moment. It's the manager's job to figure out how he's going to get through the next six and a third innings. But it's up to that team to be able to put the idea that their buddy, their friend, their guy who's, you know, impacted this team in such a positive way, who was on to having a career year, all that went away, and that team had to get off the deck and respond. And what you got from Warren, what you got from Nunez, what you got from the offense, what you got from what you got from Soto, what you got from Alonso, and the big hit from McNeil, that is one of those games that you can look back at. Off of this stretch, this is one of those games at the end of the year, assuming the Mets season goes the way we all hope it goes, the way we expect it to go, this is one of those games you look back and say, that was an enormous game. Because if they lose it, if Warren comes in and gets lit up, if they lose this game and lose 3 out of 4 to the Braves, and now the rotation's in the manner it's in, and everything else about it, and it's a dud, and the offense doesn't do anything, and the Mets go meekly into the night, the vibe around this team is completely changed. Instead, they don't. They rally. They get off the deck. They have a well-played game. They recapture first place in the division. They head into Pittsburgh off of a 2-game momentum swing, looking to take care of business and maybe have a 4, a 5-game winning streak. And suddenly you forget about losing 9 out of 10. That's how this works. The season is up and down. 3 weeks ago or a month ago, it was Philadelphia losing 9 out of 10. Then they got hot, recaptured first place. Now they're getting swept out in Houston while the Mets just won the last 2 games. It is an up and down 162 battle where you're going to have moments that you're tested. You're going to have moments you have to come through. There are going to be tentpole moments in a season that define who you are. And last night, the New York Mets had one of those moments to help define who they are. And they could have easily rolled over and said, well, what are you going to do? We lost our pitcher in the third inning. And we all would have been like, well, that's a devastating blow. And we all would have understood. Instead, guys who have just been called up, guys who haven't had good years, step up out of the bullpen. They do enough offensively, and they win a huge game. A huge game that should and hopefully will lead them into a hot stretch here, taking on Pittsburgh, taking on Milwaukee, and heading into the second Subway Series of the year. That's the stretch right now for the New York Mets. They go out to Pittsburgh. They come home from Milwaukee and the Yankees. This is now the time to get hot. This is now the time to turn it around. Their pitching is questioned, absolutely. You're going to have to find guys who step up. There's nothing, we've already talked about it. David Stearns has already talked about it. There's no one to go get. I know Evan all day today was trying to convince everyone he talked to that they should go trade for Jacob DeGrom. That's not happening. It's not happening right now. There's no one coming through that door. But last night they showed the ability to do it themselves, and hopefully that'll spark them. They're back in first place. They're taking on the lousy Pirates. It's time to build momentum. These next 2 games are important. This series is important. You can't stub your toe against Pittsburgh. You can't. It only works. This only is a big game if the next game's a big game. So this is a big stretch for the Mets. It was a really impressive win. It was a somber moment turned into a tentpole win. And the New York Mets hopefully are going to build some momentum off of it. 888-808-1019. We'll take your Met calls. We'll obviously get into the Yankees too, as they were off last night. Freaking Boone. Unbelievable. All the runs they scored. 4 hits from Dominguez. 4 hits from Grisham. And he gives them both off tonight. In fact, he just said, let's not play. I mean, it's unbelievable. Trying to create some momentum. Trying to get things going. And Boone's like, let's not play tonight. It's infuriating. This guy was so soft. 888-808-1019. We'll talk about that. The Knicks made a draft pick, and you listen, this is it. This is the guy. I don't know anything about him. I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't know if I can't think of any 50 first picks overall that impacted teams in any major way, but I'm telling you this right now. He better be involved in that rotation. We better know exactly who he is and exactly what he can do and exactly how he plays, because he better be getting some freaking time. Otherwise, this coach is a disaster, just like the other one. He better get into this rotation. I don't want to see Mitchell Robinson playing all the time. I don't want to see all the starters playing all the time. Get that 51st pick in there. It's critical. It's critical. You got to be able to have him as an option late in the postseason. So the next coach better be doing his homework on him and everybody else in the organization, because they better all play. Otherwise, this Knick team is going down the tubes. Down the tubes, Mikey.